This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
As we enter into a spirit of prayer, an attitude of thanksgiving, God, we give you honor and glory. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. God, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity. We thank you for this day. God, we ask that you cover us right now in this service. Allow us to give you honor and to give you glory, because truly there is none like you, none greater, none more worthy, God. We just thank you. God, we ask prayers for all of those that are sick in their mind, body, or their spirit, Lord God. We pray for healing today, Lord, that you will deliver them, Lord God, from whatever it is that ails them, Lord God. We pray for those that are grieving, that you will give them a peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord God, be with all of us this day as we come into the house of worship, giving honor and glory and praise to you. Lord God, let everything that we do be done to your glory. It's in your wonderful and holy and magnificent name we pray. And all in agreement said, Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you. The Bible says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
We have two short scriptures today. The first one coming from Malachi, the third chapter. We don't usually spend much time in Malachi, but if you're in Matthew, just flip backwards two pages. Amen. Malachi, the third chapter, and then we're going to go to Luke, the third chapter. We're reading verse 1 from Malachi 3. Hear the word of the Lord. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. And now hear the word of God from Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. We're actually going to start with verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and the people will see God's salvation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God, we thank you for the gift of this day. God, we thank you for the privilege to worship you. We pray that everything that we do here brings honor and glory to your sight. And more than anything, God, we pray that you would dwell among us now in this preaching moment, that you might stand in this space and speak a word, God, that we, your children, we, your servants, need to hear so that people might know that we are Christians by our love, so that people might know that we represent Christ by the way we create peace in this world. God bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, the question for us to consider today is, what will you say when sent? The text that we are reading from Luke talks about the message that John the Baptist had when he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. Malachi prophesies that there will be a messenger, one will be sent to make a way. And the truth of the matter is, it's not just one, but all of us are called and sent. So what will you say when sent? The choir sang just a few months ago, we need to hear from you. We need a word from you. Lord, if we don't hear from you, what will we do? The reality is there are so many people who need a word from God today. So many that God sends all of us to speak a word of hope and encouragement, a word of light and direction for someone who might be lost. God sends us to speak a word of justice and truth. And so the question is, what will you say when sent? When you are sent to your students who call you Miss and Mama interchangeably because they need the love you teach just as much as the subject you teach. What will you say when you're sent to your coworker who seems to bring a cloud of confusion and mess and drama every time they enter the room? How will you help them be light of the world as you are light in the world? What will you say when sent to the people you disagree with, to the people in your family that you just don't understand, to your neighbors who you don't know after living on the same block for years? What will you say when sent? And before we go too far, let me clear up one thing. Not saying something is not an option. Amen. Not saying something, saying nothing is not an option. The old school song used to say it this way: if I don't, praise the Lord. Y'all don't know that one? The rocks will cry out in my place. And I don't want no rocks, the songwriter says, crying out for me. Jesus said it this way in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. I guess the folks around them were pretty proud of who they were, the kind of disciples they thought they were, the kind of followers they thought they were. He said, nah, don't get beside yourself. Don't get too proud. Don't think that because you're from the line of Abraham, that you're the only one that will be saved. You're the only one that can praise. Do you not know that God will raise up a nation, he said, out of these rocks? So saying nothing is not an option. Scripture tells us that we overcome by the power of our testimony. Your testimony about how God blessed and kept and healed you gives another person the assurance, the confidence that God will bless and keep and heal them. When someone hears my testimony and they add that to what they heard you say, and they add that with what another brother or sister at work or in the supermarket or at the ball game or wherever said, when they put all that together, it begins to build a case for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One witness is good. That's enough to rest your case on. One witness is good, but all of us witnessing together builds a stronger case. As we collectively communicate God's track record of faithfulness, friends, what we say can assure folks that the last time God did it won't be the last time God will do it. Amen. Malachi 3 says it this way: I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. That's us, y'all. And then suddenly the Lord that you are seeking, the one you're looking for, will come into his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. Now you hear me say all the time that God inhabits the praises of God's people. This scripture helps us to know that our testimony serves as an invitation of sorts. It prepares the way of the Lord. What we have to say helps people find their way to Christ. And not only that, as we bear witness to the goodness of God, Malachi says we essentially call the Lord onto the scene. We call in Jesus, the messenger of the covenant, to do it again. To do what, Pastor? To make a way out of no way again. To take our little 2 fish and 5 loaves, our little 2 pennies like the widow had, and make it enough and do it again. We call him to bring peace to our chaos again. Our testimony, the belief that he can, allows him to mend all the torn up places in our lives again. To anoint our heads with oil again, our wounds again, essentially. To pick us up and carry us again, if necessary. Our testimony, our praise invites the Lord to do it again. Essentially, to be the messenger of the covenant, to fulfill God's promises to us. Luke says it this way as he quotes John the Baptist: every valley shall be filled in, every mountain made low, the crooked roads shall become straight and the rough ways smooth. That's the covenant promise, essentially. I will be your God and you will be my people, and it will be all good because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. That's the covenant promise. Because I am your God, your good shepherd, your good father, you will lack for nothing. Every valley will be filled in. Because I am your God, you can trust me to lead you in right paths, the Lord says. The mountains won't even seem like mountains. You won't even be out of breath when you move on up a little higher with me. When you climb with me, God says, you'll be fine because I am the breath of life that empowers you. This is what salvation looks like for John the Baptist. This is how he described it to the folks to whom he was sent. The crooked places, the things that confuse you. I'm gonna work that all out. That'll be straight, God says. The rough ways will be smoothed out. Or as Paul would say it, all things will work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to God's purpose. Friends, we are called to fulfill God's purposes, and we're not only called, we are sent. So what will you say when you are sent? Especially during this season of Advent, what will you say to remind someone that Jesus is the reason for the season? What will you say to remind someone that our hope is not built on Amazon Prime? Amen. Even if our shopping carts are full and that save for later, that save for later list is pages long in my family, but our hope is not built on Amazon Prime or next day delivery. What will we say during this season of waiting where we can order a thing and have it at your house tonight? What will we say in this season of waiting that will help someone prepare and wait for the long-awaited, long-expected Savior? What will we say that will help someone understand his birth, his life, his death, his gift of salvation in a fresh way? Luke 3, verse 5 tells us what will happen when the Savior comes. I wonder, how do you imagine it? That's what John saw, but what do you see? What are your expectations for when the Savior comes? Let me slow down for a second because I might be leaving somebody behind. Let me ask you this. Do you have any expectations for what will happen when the Savior comes? Do you believe that life in Christ brings a particular set of blessings? Do you expect our John 10:10 Jesus to bless you with life and more abundantly at that? Or do you think that's for other folks? Do you have any expectations of the Lord this season? Because I believe that as we determine what we will say when we're sent, the first question we have to consider is, what do we expect of the Savior this season? Because Luke says it this way, and all the people will see God's salvation. So we ought to be able to see something. Imagine something, be hopeful for something. After the messengers like us and the messengers like John prepare the way, the text says all people will see God's salvation. After Christ comes and does what only Christ can do, all people will see a move of God. All people will see a miracle of God, not just some folks. All people will see God's salvation, the word says. Church, do you see it? What does salvation look like for you? Of course, it's saving us and freeing us from sin, yes. Of course, it's securing our eternal life in heaven, yes. But those promises we read from Luke 3 are here and now promises. Those are not one glad morning when this life is over promises. Those are, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven promises. So that means welcoming the Savior, experiencing the birth of Christ should result in some right now miracles, some right now blessings, right now breakthroughs, right now victory for everybody. Because all people will see God's salvation. What do you see? What's on your wish list this season? What would really bring you peace? What would bring peace to the world even? Because even if you've been saved as long as you can remember, the birth of Christ is bringing fresh blessings for you this year. And the good news is that our cups overflow. As children of God, we're so blessed. We have plenty to share with those who need to meet Christ for the first time and with those who need to be reminded of the blessings that their Lord and King brings. So what will you say when sent to the one struggling with depression, who can barely get out of the bed or off the couch, can't get excited about work or school or life? What will you say when sent to the one battling anxiety, who isn't ready to leave home yet, even before we found out about Omicron? What will you say when sent to the one held captive by grief, who cannot convince themselves that this is the most wonderful time of the year? What will you say when sent to someone without family who might need to be invited in, welcomed into your family? What will you say when sent to the one who understands the Advent spirit of waiting oh too well? Because though they pray without ceasing, they're still waiting for an answer from God. What will you say when sent to them prayerfully? It won't be something that makes their waiting worse. Prayerfully, it will be something that prepares the way of the Lord, prepares the way for them to meet Christ, prepares the way to invite Christ to come and meet them. Friends, you will meet someone this week who needs to meet Christ in you. I promise you. Even if you don't leave home all week, you will meet someone who needs to see and experience Christ in you. Someone who needs you to actually listen to them when you say, "How are you today?" You will meet someone who needs to be seen and simply smiled at. You'll meet someone who needs you to live the life that you sing about in your songs. Amen. When I was home for Thanksgiving, I met someone who needed to meet Christ in me that day. I was running in to buy a red shirt, although who don't have a million red shirts, but I forgot that I needed a red shirt while I was home for Thanksgiving. So I was running in to buy yet another red shirt, and the man outside the store said hello. I smiled and spoke, said hello to him. And just seeing him, just acknowledging him, was enough for him to know this was a different encounter. Because you know we don't try to make eye contact with the people that spend a lot of time outside of the store. You know we don't try to smile back and engage. So just being seen let him know that something else was happening in this moment. And so he stepped through that door. He said, "Sister, if you have anything extra, could you buy me a pair of socks?" That's all, a pair of socks, if you can afford it. We do know that socks are the most in-demand item in homeless shelters. That's the thing people need more than anything. Just being able to keep your feet cool, clean. This was a rainy day, dry. That could make the difference from catching cold or pneumonia or whatever. So socks, some of the most, or it is the most requested item. If you can afford it. Lady, you out here buying another red shirt. If you can afford it, would you buy me a pair of socks? I said, "Sure. Is there anything else you need?" Amen. That overwhelmed him. He was wearing a hoodie. He said, "Well, if you could afford something like this." I said, "Okay." And even before I came out of the store with his items, even before I walked away, he began to thank me and thank me. He said, You didn't even know if I was going to come out with the stuff or not. But he was grateful for having been seen. He said, "Thank you for stopping. Thank you so much for just listening." Y'all, there's somebody out there this week that needs you to just listen a little bit. There's somebody out there this week that needs you to just see them a little bit, that needs to be heard. There's somebody that wants to thank you too for listening. Thank you for preparing the way for them to have an entirely new, fresh experience of blessing and miracle and abundance this year. It's not possible to go through an entire week and not encounter a single soul that needs to hear from the Lord. It's not possible. So what will you say when sent? Maybe you'll call them to repent like John did and like Malachi did, because the rest of that text that we didn't read, Malachi, after he talks about this messenger making the way, he says, but who can stand before the one that is going to be sent? He said that king is coming to us like the refiner's fire, like the launderer's soap. In other words, he's coming to clean us up, to purify us. That's the reason for the season. He's coming to make us more like him. That's a good message to start with, inviting someone to turn to God and wait on God to make all things right in this season of waiting. That's a good message, calling someone to repent. Come on, make your way back to God. Make your way back to the ways of God. Because sometimes we say we accept the Lord, but we don't accept his lordship. That's two different things. We accept God, but we don't always accept God's ways. Friends, there's no time like the present to prepare the way of the Lord, even in your own life, so that you might lead others to make room for the Savior this season. What will you say when you're sent to those who have not made space for Christ in their lives? What will you say when sent to those who need to see God's salvation in the here and now? What will you say when sent to those who have forgotten that the birth brings an abundance of blessings every year for everyone? You will meet someone this week, so think about it. What will you say when sent? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.